he brought with him, and he's going to take it from here and preach the word. Would you welcome him and the IHOP team again? Bless you.
Oh, bless you guys. Wow. This is a sweet place. I was, it was just, we came in last night and, you know, driving for 8-9 hours, kind of exhausted. There's 25 of us. And so I just imagine we'd hit the church and we just kind of set our bags down and, you know, just kind of breathe. But I mean, we all walked in and just could feel the presence of the Lord. And so anyway, on behalf of Kansas City, thank you guys for having us. We're super excited. It's just been such a blessing. So before I jump into the word, is Jesse and Andrew here? Andrew, come up here. Jesse. So I just want to introduce these guys. They're our student leaders, and I just want you guys to see their face, know who they are. They're really the secret sauce to this week of the trips. Everyone's been working really, really hard. But just say something. Give us 30 seconds about who you are. I want them to know you.
Yeah, totally. So my name's Andrew Webb. I'm from Detroit, Michigan, and I'm a senior at IHOP, and this is my third ministry trip. And I absolutely love these trips, and I just want to second what Adam said. As soon as I came here, just the hospitality and even just like the heart of prayer that I sensed in the leaders and in this place is just amazing. And I definitely come today just really feeling, you know, wanting to come in and serve you guys in intercession and that kind of thing. But I just want to bring you into my heart a little bit, just real quick. You know, this might be for some of you too, but like this week, I want to serve all these things, but I want to know Jesus. Like, I'm here because I want Jesus to be my first love, and I'm coming back, and I'm like hearing that again, like, Jesus, to know you is everything to me, and that's what I want. I want it to be that again. And so I want to, you know, hopefully we can help bring you guys deeper into that. So
I'm Jesse. I'm also leading the trip with Andrew, and same thing. When we came in yesterday, you know, we were all kind of tired from the trip. We woke up at 5 a.m. and drove straight here, but man, we got here, even just Chip and his wife just come in around us, just like woke us up. Like, these people are awesome, and this church is obviously a praying church, and we just felt that as soon as we got in. Like, man, this, it feels like home away from home. Kind of, you walk in and it's like, man, these people pray, and that's what we do. It's what we give our lives to. And if you saw the worship leader, that was my wife. A lot of people don't believe me. But, we're excited just as a team, as a whole, to be here and serve you guys. But we already know, this is my fourth ministry trip. And every time we've gone to serve a church, we end up, I feel like we leave with more from the church than we actually gave. And it's just a blessing to be just poured into by you guys. And we're excited to take from you what we can get and just learn as well as serve and whatever the Lord wants to do with us for you or with you for us. We're just on board for what he wants to do.
Thank you guys so much. So, and just the rest of the IHOPU team that's here in the audience, won't you guys come up? I just want everybody to just see your faces. Maybe we can just have you guys just stand up front. All those beautiful faces. So, yeah, come on. Come on, guys. Good. Good. Isn't that a good-looking crew? And they all, like, love Jesus. And anyway, so I just wanted you guys to see their faces. Again, they've been secretly planning for the last couple months for the Chicago trip. And so, they just put in a ton of time. And our hearts are so invested. And so coming in just this first morning, our hearts are already full. So anyway, so thank you guys for your prayers. We're going to be doing a lot of stuff around OBCC the next couple days, and then we'll be downtown working a lot with the poor and with some other churches and ministries. So we covet your prayers this week, and just thank you guys so much. So anyway, let's give these guys a hand again.
Good.
Man, I messed up this morning. You're going to have to forgive me. So it was good. You know how you have those times where you prepare a message and you're ready to go, and then all of a sudden the Lord kind of comes and hijacks it. Well, that's me this morning. So I came in ready, feeling like I had, you know, something solid, and had a real powerful dream from the what I feel like is from the Lord last night that a little later tonight I'd like, or later in the message I'd like to share. So anyway, can we pray again? So good. Well, Father, again, we thank you for this day. Father, we stand as a hungry people. We stand as ones who long to walk in a realm of deeper understanding, that we would know the man Christ Jesus. Father, I thank you for the hunger in this room. I thank you for the history that's in this place. And Lord, we just ask you, Holy Spirit, come and do what you love to do, that you would magnify the Lord Jesus to the human heart. Father, that you would take these weak vessels, some young, some not as young, but God, we share this one thing. God, we long to know you more. And so we ask you by the power of the Holy Spirit that you would take weak words and you would magnify them, that just the life of God would be upon them. And so help us today, God, that we would know you more, that we would leave this place different, having that fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, we honor you, we love you, we bless you. In Jesus' name. All right, if you have your Bibles, I have you turn to John 17. I'm not going to jump in there right this second, but just go ahead and open it up. So, again, as Pastor Chip said, my name's Adam Formby. I've been in Kansas City for the last 19 years. I moved up as a 21-year-old from born and raised in Texas. Didn't get saved until I was actually 20, so grew up with great parents, had great heart, all that kind of stuff. We just didn't have Jesus in our family. And so I didn't know what that was. Even up until the time that I got saved, I'd probably been in church less than 10 times up until the time I was 20. So, and me being a fairly passionate individual, I got myself into things that probably weren't the best. You know, Scripture says all these things not to do. I did most of those. And so, and in doing so, it began bearing, you know, pretty bad fruit. Had a friend in college that was diagnosed with stage 4 Hodgkin's lymphoma, and was pretty touch and go. Her parents were believers, and had some friends and family pray for her, and was miraculously healed. And as a result of that healing, she got saved and moved to a small Christian college in Hot Springs, Arkansas. And I lost contact with her for a year or so, and just this one morning, I was like, I wonder what she's doing. So I got a hold of her, and her being a faithful little witness was like, yeah, I'd love to see you, but you have to know something. I'm not the same person I used to be. You know, and me not knowing anything about that, I was like, okay. So, I mean, you look the same, you sound the same, like, can we, you know, just meet again? And so, anyway, me not knowing the divine ambush that was ahead of me, I jumped in a car, went down to Hot Springs, Arkansas, and you know, spent some time with her. And before I left to go back to what was Austin at that time, she was like, yeah, come to church with me. And so it was a small church, maybe 75 people, you know, out kind of in a small rural part. And still to this day, strange to say, I don't remember anything about the worship. I don't remember anything about the teaching. And as the pastor was giving his doxology and saying, all right, you guys have a great week, you know, we'll see you again, you know, as everyone's going to stand up, I go to stand, and the Lord hits me. No one laid hands on me. No one did anything. And I just, I had my Saul of Tarsus moment where God knocked me off my horse. Just didn't see anything coming. I mean, this is sort of embarrassing, but it's not part of my story. I mean, I had drugs in my pocket in church. You know, but the thing I love about the goodness and the mercy of God is he's like, I don't care. I don't care. Come as you are. I'll trick you. I'll lead you, but I'll get you there. because I have a divine destiny for you. And so that was where I was. I found myself June 23rd, 1996. You know, driving back home, I just remember saying, what in the world just happened? What just happened? And just feeling compelled to just throw the drugs out of the car. And, you know, doing all of that. And what was so crazy is, you know, I had no, no desire for the drugs or the cigarettes or the anything like that from that moment on, not because I thought it was right or wrong, but because I had a total loss of desire for it, just sovereignly. You know, it's like what are the inferior pleasures of sin? God gave me the superior pleasures of the gospel. And so from that moment on, it just began this incredible journey. And, you know, like I said, because I started 20, it's like he pulled me back and just launched me forward pretty quick. And so within a year, I had gotten filled with the Holy Spirit, and there was a small church in the area that we were connected with, and they had a legitimate outpouring of the Spirit, and the leadership really didn't know what to do with it. And so our pastor had called for some of the college leaders, myself was one of those, and they had asked if we would go and help kind of facilitate this move of God. Here I am, I'm less than a year old in the Lord. I don't know anything. I'm still trying to figure out what gospels are what, and, you know, an epistle is an apostle. I just didn't know any of this. And so yet he deemed it wise to help with this, and so we did. So after classes each day, we would run over there. It was about a 30-minute drive, and just we helped kind of facilitate this thing, and I saw things that have just blew me away, healings and salvations and miracles, which were incredible. But still in the midst of that, there was this deeper groan saying, God, there's got to be more than this. You know, I appreciate the miracles and all that, but there was a cry in my heart for more of Jesus. You know, it's like what Paul said to the church of the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 2:2. You know, just his desire that he would know nothing about them but Jesus Christ and him crucified. And so, there was a moment in time in between one of those little revival services that I just remember saying, I want this to be the mandate over my heart, and I want this to be the mandate over, you know, just the church in general. And so for the last 20 years now, that really has been my sole pursuit, is to know nothing but Jesus and him crucified. That doesn't mean nothing else, but that's my primary occupation. It's my primary compulsion, should we say, is to know Jesus and to make him known. And so, Pastor Chip, thank you for having us. We're so grateful. It's good to be here. So I don't know hardly anyone's faces, but it already feels like family. So again, so thank you. So, all right, let's jump into John 17. So if you got your Bibles open. So just to give context, this is Jesus. This is the high priestly prayer. This is one of the final moments that Jesus has before he goes to the cross. You know, he's done the work that the Father's commissioned him to do. And we get this little glimpse into the final moments of Jesus. And he's in he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and I can only imagine that the full weight of sin is beginning to physically press down upon him. You know, my sin, your sin, I mean, all of our sins of all of mankind are coming to bear upon his physical body. And so, you know, I freak out just sometimes if I can't get this bill paid and this thing there, and then I begin to kind of freak out. I can't imagine the full weight of sin bearing upon the Son of God. And so, again, we see this picture, and in John 17:3, we see him, he's saying that this is eternal life, that they would know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. And I think it's easy for us to get this picture, you know, looking at like the John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him wouldn't perish but have everlasting life. And it's almost like we see salvation as the end goal, that we see salvation as that pinnacle thing that we want to try to achieve. But looking at this, based on Jesus' words, salvation is just but a door. It's just the entrance into something greater. So salvation isn't the end. Salvation is the beginning into a deeper knowledge of who he is. And so, you know, I just picture Jesus. He knows he's about to die. You know, few of his disciples really believed him. Most of the women did. There's a lot to be said about that. But here he is. He knows this is one of my final recorded prayers. So I can imagine, you know, here's the Son of God praying under the will of God for the last time in the flesh. I think he has something to say. And so we would do well, in my opinion, to really examine that final prayer that he prayed. And so, again, he's looking both with his, you know, current disciples. He's looking beyond in the decades and the church to come all the way to us. So when Jesus is praying, he's not just praying for Peter, James, John. He's praying for you. He's praying for me. So it's you know, you are not going outside the bounds of Scripture to say, you know, Father, you desire that I, Adam, would be in you, and that kind of thing. And so it's critical that we pray with confidence that the Son of God wants us to enter into this realm of a deeper knowledge of the Son of God. So, but we also recognize we have a real enemy out there, don't we? That he loves to come to steal, to kill, and destroy. But as the word said, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And we have a Holy Spirit whose mandate is to lead us into the deeper realms of God. So let's jump down to verse 24. Again, if you have your Bible. He says, Father, I desire that those whom you have given me would be with me where I am, that they would behold my glory. And then jumping down to 26, and this is the ultimate, you know, success statement. I mean, this would be the ultimate vision statement. For I have declared to them your name, and I will declare it, so that the love with which you have loved me, Abba, would be in them. That's his final cry. That as he's meeting with the Father and he's feeling the weight of it, he knows this thing is just bursting out of him. You know, he's like, Father, I desire that they would be with me where I am, that they would see me for who I am, not just God in the flesh, but God, you know, in, you know, for all the Genesis 1 God, God incarnate. And it's his mandate through the power of the Holy Spirit. We would make known the will of the Father, the will of the Son, through the activity of the Holy Spirit. Father, that's the cry of our hearts. God, that we would be a people found in your name, that we are your great desire, as your word says, that we were the joy set before you, that you endured the cross, that as you went before the cross, it was us that you had in mind. We were that joy. And so, Father, I just ask you today, God, that you would mark your hearts, or you would mark our hearts, God, with greater love, greater mandate for the Son of God.
that we would be written into that grand storyline. Father, that we would be given a awareness of the things that are on your heart. And God, I ask you, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you would enable us to come into proper alignment with what's on your heart. So help us today, God. Lord, in Jesus' name. So, part of what has caught me off guard this morning is last night, God speaks, right? So he's promised he will continue to speak, and God speaks in myriads of ways, primarily through the revelation of his word. He gives some dreams, some, just through speaking through his church. It seems like in this last season, God's been kind of emphasizing prophetic dreams for me. So last night I had an interesting dream that I want to share with you, with permission with Pastor Chip, that I think pertains to this church. And in the dream, we, the IHOP team and the OBCC leadership and many of you, we were all together in this large circle, all holding hands, contending for the promises of God, contending for God to come. And in that moment, with my eyes closed, I just begin to feel the electricity of the Holy Spirit. That I'm just feeling that tangible presence that was on me, and almost to the point where I kind of almost got giddy, like, am I the only one? And so I go and kind of peek my eye just to see, am I the only one that this is happening to? And then when I look up to someone across from me, I see this tongue of fire appear above their head. And then I look and, oh, that person, another tongue of fire. And then another tongue of fire, another one, another one, another one. And before I know, this entire crew has that Acts 2, when they're in the upper room, where he's been called, and he said, tarry in the secret place until you're endued with power. And then that's when Pentecost happens, and that's when the outpouring of the Holy Spirit comes, for the equipping of the church. Well, I felt like we were in a moment like that. And about that time, I began to feel the ground kind of begin to shake, begin to quiver, like just tremors. And before I knew it, I see this large crack come across the middle of where we're at, and just this volcanic eruption of the Holy Spirit comes. Obviously, it gets all over us, and it just begins to go out beyond the church, into the city. Beyond that, I don't know. But I think we're in a Kairos moment right now. I think for Oak Brook, I think that there is a level of convergence that you guys are in a season of. I know that there's been a lot of prophetic promises. I know there have been a lot of things that you guys have been contending for. And it was just a blast to see God giving witness to those prayers. He's saying those things that you've been praying, maybe they seemed weak, maybe they had a lot of unction on them, but you know what? Regardless of how we feel about prayer, it hit God's throne every time. It's not like your weak prayer somehow hits God as a weak prayer. It means that if you have just a little, and it's Godward, it hits his heart. I just so picture him just looking over the balcony of heaven. It says in the Old Testament how the Lord's looking to and fro, looking for men and women who have that heart that's bent towards him. And so I know that there's a lot of prayers, a lot of history in this place. And I think the Lord just kind of gave a little snapshot that you guys are in a season of not even transition, just a season of convergence, where a lot of those prophetic promises, I feel like, are before you as a people. And so my encouragement is, let's continue to press in. Let's not draw back. That's when we continue to press in, because there are bowls in heaven. And I can't necessarily prove this theologically, but I have this picture at least. You know, those bowls in heaven that it talks about in Revelation, that, you know, we never know which prayer it's going to be that dumps that bowl out. You know, is it a corporate one? Is it one that we're driving on the way to drop the kids off? Is it one that it's on our Sunday morning prayer time where we're all together and laboring together? We don't really know. And I think that's the beauty of it. God's saying, just be faithful. Just come after me. Just keep coming after me. And all the while, those bowls in heaven are being filled. And so I think that you guys are at a near tipping point for some of those prophetic promises. And it arrested me this morning. I woke up at like 4:15 with that, and I was just like, oh, Lord, let it be. Lord, let it be. So let it be. Father, we do. We say, let it be, God. Lord, we ask you for such a time as this, Lord, that you have brought each one here. Lord, your church, God, not an institution, but the church is your people. And Father, we pray, Lord, that you would do that. Father, that you would bring a level of convergence, that you would bring a level of maturation, God, that those prophetic promises, Lord, that Timothy says to hold, that you would use those to wage the good warfare, that you would use those prophetic promises to fight the good fight. And so, Father, we ask you for that right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, just as a company from Kansas City, Lord, we lock arms with Oak Brook Community. And Father, we press in with them. And Father, we ask you that your will would be done in this place. Have your way, God. Have your way, God. Do what you long to do, that Jesus would be magnified, that every person that enters this place, that they would feel the presence of God, that we wouldn't take it as just business as usual or church as usual. But God, I ask you that it would be a place, as your word said, that greater works than these shall they do in my name. So Lord, I pray, Lord, even now, God, pray for convergence in Jesus' name. Can we all just, for a moment, just all stand up and just, as a church, let's just begin to pray. Thank you. Father, again, here we are. Let's just open our hands up like we're receiving a gift. Father, you love these people. Father, I thank you for the faithfulness. I thank you for the heart, the hunger that comes in this place, God. Lord, I thank you for the history. I thank you for the moms and the dads and the sons and the daughters. Lord, your people who have been faithful to love what you love, to hate what you hate. God, that they would line themselves up to be those faithful witnesses, those vessels of light and truth. And so, Lord, I pray right now in Jesus' name. God, have your way. Have your way, Abba. Do what you long to do, God. Come in power. Come in might, God. Lord, I ask that we would be just in that convex of just the things that you want to do right now. That we would just fall headlong into eternal convergence. It's all about you, Jesus. But God, we have to align with the things that are on your heart. And so, Lord, we do that now. Lord, we position our heart. We say, Lord, we want to be about the things that you are about. We want to do the things that you have for us to do. And so, Lord, I ask you, Just that Zechariah 12:10, just that there would be a spirit of burning, that there would be a mandate of intercession that would arise, that this house would be called a house of prayer from heaven. Father, that your intercessors would arise, those men and women that you've mandated to stand in the gap, those men and women who would stand on the wall, Father, we ask you that they would be reawakened, that they would be reinvigorated, God, with the fresh purposes. Father, that we would go out of this place a different people because of what you did. Nothing what I say, but God, what you have on your heart. Father, taking weak words, Lord, and you would just inflame them with divine truth. Break in. Yes. God, release that Acts 2 reality. Father, we see a people that have been tarrying in the secret place. Father, we ask you for a fresh Pentecost. Release the winds of the Holy Spirit. Release the fire. Release the winds, God. Father, we wait. We tarry, longing for that divine breakthrough. Come, Holy Spirit. Hey, Taylor, would you be willing to just come back on the keys? Just feel like we're kind of in a moment of response. That's okay. Just as a people that we would respond, we would take hold of those things. God, I long, Lord, that this people would walk in just the destiny that you have for them. Father, we just relinquish our agendas. Father, I right now relinquish my agenda. God, on behalf of this church, Lord, I desire that we would be one as you, Father, are one. Encourage us all. Just if there is an agenda or anything, my encouragement is let's lay that down before the Lord. I'm sensing this is a holy moment. I want us to respond rightly.
Lord, make me a house. Make me a house of prayer. A house of prayer. Lord, make me a house. And make me a house of prayer. A house of prayer. Lord, make me a house, and make me a house of prayer, a house of prayer. Lord, and make us a house, make us your house of prayer, your house of prayer, oh God.
Make us a house of prayer. The church in Chicago. The church in America. Your church, God, across the globe. God, make us a praying people. Make us a house of prayer. A people that have come into alignment with your heart. God, that we've stood in the counsels of the Lord and we've heard your voice. Let's just all begin to lift our voices in prayer. Just all across the room, let's just lift our voices in prayer. Thy kingdom come, God. Thy will be done in this place. Have your way, God. Have your way, God. Move in our midst, God. Release the promises that you have over this house. But right now, in Jesus' name, release the promises. Those prophetic destinies that you have for each one here. Over your sons and your daughters, God. God, release it now in Jesus' name. God, I ask you for divine breakthrough, for an open heavens. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and do what you long to do, God. Christ, be magnified. Be the center of our universe, God. Be our center, God, in this place, in everything that we do. We would have the fragrance of Christ. That we would speak your words. We would walk in your ways. just have our IHOP new student team come and make a line. And I just want to have this be a time to respond. So if you feel like, you know, there's a place like wanting to get more in alignment with his promises, or like what John 17 said, desire to know his name more, to walk in a deeper intimacy with the Lord, I just want to encourage you to come up. Anybody's needing prayer for healing, just want to encourage you to come up. I think the Lord is present to heal. Whether that's a simple cold or something far, far worse, I encourage you.
Your house, make us your house of prayer, your house of prayer, Lord, make us your house, make us your house of prayer, your house of prayer. Your house of prayer, oh God. He opened our hearts. Say, come and have your way. Come and have your way. We opened our hearts. Say, come and have your way. Come and have your way. We open our hearts. Say, come and have your way. Come and have your way. We open our hearts. Say, come and have your way. Come and have your way.
Morning, encourage you to feel free. It's great to just let ministry happen. Encourage you to, you don't have to come with a need. You just come and say, God, I want more of you. And so feel free to do that. And Lord, we pray today for this house. We ask, Lord, that we would be a people that long for you. Lord, have your way. We take what was brought today and just submit it to your feet, to your throne, and say, God, do what you want to do. Fulfill your destiny over our lives, over this house, over this light. And we pray today, Lord, Acts 4. We ask, Lord, that you would stretch forth your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders. In the name of your holy servant, Jesus, make Jesus known. Make Jesus known through our lives, through this house. Make Jesus famous. Have your way, Lord. Shake this house, O God. Shake us, O God. Let your plan, your work be done in Jesus' name. We thank you, Jesus. We love you today. We stand on your word. We continue in that place of prayer. We bless you, Lord. Feel free to continue to respond. God bless you. We're back here at 6 o'clock tonight. And we'd love for you to be here and be a part of just a day of prayer and worship and ministry. God bless you. Feel free to respond.